Blog Talk Radio.
Nalema kulila misozi, nikayanga na banja latu, kupadwa tinabadwa mushe, koma lelo lipazulika. Nikale kalapo kodwela lelo heka tutikumbukila kweta chokela amai kuvutika mutima koma zoti tazisoa.
Good morning and welcome to Zambia Blog Talk Radio. This is October 15th, 2016. It is exactly 10 a.m. in Dallas, Central Standard Time, 11 Eastern on the East Coast. And for our friends in the United Kingdom, I believe it's 3 p.m., 1700 hours in Zambia, and 11 p.m. Western Australia. Welcome this morning. We are very privileged and honored to talk to some trailblazer ladies, and I'm very excited about this show today. And I trust that we can cover a lot of ground. We will need to go into business straight away because of some time constraints. And there are some people who are actually very progressive and productive in what they do. This morning, I'm greatly honored for us to host Ms. Bibusa Wissermann, joining us from Germany. She's a co-founder of Kasuba Limited, an investment advisory company, and the Pruners. I hope I said that rightly. Okay. Looks like I lost Bibusa here. Let me try again. Okay. Uncle Daniel, we have Ms. Bibusa with us. All right. Roger, good morning. That was a good discussion on the girl child as we wait for Bibusa to be connected.
Sure. And we have this UK number as well.
Yes.
Hi.
This is Miss Esther A. Is it A? Ewebe. Yes. Miss Esther Ewebe joining us from the United Kingdom. She's a co-founder. She's a co-founder of the two companies with Bibusa, who is joining us from Germany. And they're going to be talking about what their companies do, and we shall be getting into that discussion. As I wait for Bibusa to be connected, let me welcome Musala. Musala, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan.
Okay. Musala attended the Young CEOs Global Business Summit that was held in Germany. But we shall get to that at a later stage. All right. Are we okay, Bayama? Are we fine? Okay, we shall be getting into the discussion here. I don't know what's happening. I hope we are not having some technical issues here. That's the way. Are we okay?
Hello.
How are things in the United Kingdom?
Very well, thank you.
Ratsi, were you saying something?
Sorry, I said very well, thank you.
All right. We have a challenge here with connecting the
Zimbusa.
Hello, Zimbusa, are you there?
Yes,
I am. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Zimbusa, welcome.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much.
All right. We have Bebusa here with our co-founder of the company they are going to talk about. Bebusa, welcome. Go ahead. I want you to introduce Esther and tell us what you guys do with the two companies that you operate.
Okay. First of all, I want to thank you very much for giving me and Esther, my co-founder, the opportunity to come on and speak a bit of what we do. I think everybody knows my full name, or maybe I've not been introduced. So my name is Bebusa Ngalande Visterman.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody should know now that I'm a Zambian based in Germany. I'm the co-founder for Bepreneur, which is actually a business platform that connects businesses. Well, actually, we help people grow their businesses, help them transform through our reliable networking. My co-founder is Miss Esther Ewede. She's also on the line, and she's based in the UK.
I am. Hi. Hello, everybody. Just wanted to
say
what we believe in Bepreneur. What we do is, you know, help businesses form new relationships, transform their businesses, and grow through powerful networks. So we are going to support our business. We'll support other businesses to change the way they operate in general. So, I mean, if you have any questions, I'm willing to answer any questions you have.
Okay. Help our listeners and everybody that has called in. Either of you can respond to this question. When you say help grow businesses, what are you talking about? Because I'm sure you'll appreciate that business is a broad and general term. What are we talking about here, Bebusa, Esther, when you say grow the business?
When we say grow business, from our perspective, we're going to open the platform by, you know, creating events, having events to connect people to different investors. So we are starting with the first event that Bebusa has shared with you, which will be in Zambia, to bring a lot of businesses together to connect them. And hopefully they will grow their businesses through those networks we opened for them.
Excellent.
Bibi, just in case I missed anything.
Bebusa, I want you to talk about, we are dealing with two organizations here, okay? One is Bepreneurs, I hope I said that right. And the other one is the Kasuva Invest, Kasuva Limited. Can you talk to us about what Kasuva is about?
Okay, so Kasuva is a company. I'm actually the CEO and the founder of Kasuva. That company was born under the obviously demand. If you know how terrible our electricity problems we have in Africa, I'd actually couple of years I've been very interested in renewable energy, and after working on a few projects in West Africa that provided renewable solutions for rural areas, I decided to have my own company that provides basically renewable energy solutions to both the private and the public sector. Now, what happens is that I have a few EPC partners that I work with. And I go into, I speak to private, and when I mean public, it obviously means the government. Try and see what issues they have with energy. In specific, I'll speak of Southern Africa because I most of my projects now in Zambia and the region. So we tell and make solar or green energy according to what the consumer needs. So if the consumer wants an off-grid solution, I work with EPC partners that design and provide a solution that is, first of all, good quality, and then secondly, not as expensive as, you know, because most of my EPC partners are European-based. And we have this majority, you know, of European solar providers being very expensive. But fortunately, or maybe unfortunately, because of the Chinese market, The European providers have actually been forced to reduce their prices. So basically, we could be able to provide the best solutions in Africa with affordable solar products.
Okay. We know it's general knowledge, Bibusa, and let me stay with you for a few minutes, then I'll get back to Esther. We know that most of Africa, if not the world as well, has been so much dependent on hydro. I think the other one is thermal, is it coal, whatever. How would you characterize the response of both? And of course, when we talk about Africa, it's mainly the public, which you have already clarified is government. How have they responded to this change or transition to the other form of energy?
Okay. Of course, hydro is also renewable energy in its own way.
Mm-hmm.
But if you know the case study of Zambia, since 2014 April, we haven't had enough water. So, and this is one of the reasons why our hydropower stations have not produced enough electricity. Now, if you understand the reason why, it's actually because of the climate change. We've had a lot of seasonal change in Africa. I mean, I think globally, but specifically in Zambia. And yes, of course, they're a bit hesitant because obviously they've invested a lot of money in the hydro. Hydro actually is capital intensive. Because of the machinery. The maintenance is not so much capital intensive, but the building of hydro station is actually capital intensive. So this is kind of difficult, but in a way, actually, let me even state our president signed a climate change agreement a couple of weeks ago in UN. And what the government is trying to do now is actually implement locals to learn about the effects of climate change and also to understand why the government is choosing now to go into renewable solar. So they are, yes, welcoming the idea of having a few off-grid solar solutions, and we just have to see how it goes. Well, at the moment, they are very, very welcoming the idea of having green energy solutions such as solar.
Okay. What is the relationship between the two companies? Esther, either of you can respond. What is the relationship between Kasuga Limited and Bipreneurs? Is that, how do you pronounce this? Can
well,
you help
let me answer
one?
That. Let me answer that, and then Esther will come on. So, Kasuga, I've had Kasuga for a couple of years now, and I've got separate partners from that. Obviously, Bipreneur was born from a couple of years ago from Esther, and because of obviously also not just the personal relationship I have with her, but also on the business sense, it's not so well related to, but obviously because of me owning this Kasuga Renewable, I discovered that networking is kind of one very important aspect of building a business. Because so many times, you could have the perfect business model, but you don't have the finance. And you could go to the bank and the bank won't give you that finance. But if you know the right people that actually provide microfinancing, it's the only easiest way now, especially in Africa when you talk about financing. SME, we've got a lot of challenges with SME financing. And so this is how it's kind of related to, because obviously my business has grown to an extent because of the networking that I've actually gained through, the couple of years that I've worked with other partners for Kasuga.
Okay. Excellent. Obviously what Bipreneur is about is needed with the customers or the clientele that you have in Kasuga. Wouldn't you agree to that?
Yes, I would.
All right.
For sure.
Excellent. I know Bibusa has to, at one stage, she has to leave. Esther, talk to us about...
I have to leave actually now because I missed up the time.
Okay. My final question to you then before you go. talk to us about the young CEOs and how it went. Yeah, I don't know whether you're going to do it in 30 seconds, 1 minute, or 2 minutes.
I would try my best. I recently organized an event for the Young CEO Business Forum, which was held in September on the 24th and the 25th here in Germany, which was a fantastic. I had more than 80 to 90 people, participants. I had over 20 speakers from different countries. And obviously, hosted by WHU, which is one of the best universities here in Europe and Germany itself. So the event went fantastic, which is also married to Bpreneur, because, you know, I had been doing these events on my own. I've been helping people do the events, but I decided, you know, if I have the muscle and I have the right team, why can't I do this and grow this in my own capacity? Of course, Bpreneur is not just about having events. We are definitely having mentors. We're having speakers. When we mean growing your business, it's not just coming to an event and connecting somebody. We connect you to the right mentor. We connect you to the right business partner that would definitely match your problems to get a better solution. So event was successful. I'm so happy. I should pat myself on the back, and also kudos to the team members that helped me.
Excellent. Okay, Bibusa, we shall catch up with you later soon. There are a lot of things I would like to
thank you very much. Thank you for having me on the show. Thank you.
You are welcome. The rest of the world will be talking to Esther, and then we'll switch to Musaba. Esther, so far, tell us some of the things that Bpreneur has done, and what
call,
is the outlook?
Press 1. For pinless dialing, press 2.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, we can.
Okay. All right. As Bibusa has explained to you, Bpreneur is just newly formed now. Yes, for years I have had, this business plan to actually, help other entrepreneurs like myself. But Bpreneur is now a partnership that is now formed by myself and Bibusa Visaman. So the first event we are going to have will be in Zambia, and that's already in the planning.
Okay. When is this going to take place? What are the dates, and what is going to be the theme of the event?
We will announce the dates in due course. At the moment, we are working with Zambia at the moment, so I can't disclose a lot of information right now, but the details will be coming out shortly. We have the plan to have this event in March next year, and we are working with parties in Zambia to get this on the move.
Excellent. Esther, somebody is listening and they are probably trying to venture into business, or they are already into business. They are struggling, they are having challenges. What is the significance, and why is strong, reliable networking so important?
Well, I always say we don't know it all, so we can never have all the solutions. But meeting with the right people and having that right network does help in getting us, where we want to go. So strong networking is really important. I say, it's never, bad to say what you want to do and discuss things with other people, because you will get some ideas and some suggestions that you may have not thought of yourself. So having a good organization that has this in mind will really help entrepreneurs or, anyone who is planning to set up a business do it right.
The interesting thing is I noticed that I'm reading something here. There are two words that stand out to me in this: strong and reliable.
Yes.
Strong
yes.
and reliable networking. So the opposite of that is true. Right?
Agreed.
you can have networking which is not strong and reliable.
Exactly.
How does one get to that point of establishing or recognizing that my network is strong and it is reliable? What are some of the features or characteristics?
Well, I think with Bpreneur, what we're trying to do is making sure that we have the right parties. We are partnering with the right parties with the right skill set and the right experience to be able to impact, benefits to other organizations or newly formed businesses. So knowing that is important. And the network,
okay.
You will know your network, whether it is strong or not. And you will know if they are reliable, if you have had dealings with them before. So that is, something that you can only determine from on your own. But you will know
on
if
your
those
own.
Parties do prove.
They are working
Sorry.
For you
yeah.
or not. What are some of the steps that somebody needs to work on or take towards identifying a strong, reliable network?
Well, I think what I was going to use is, it stems from what you have experienced before. So with us, we are working with, not only the government parties that Bibusa mentioned earlier, but we know that those are reliable sources. And people who we have worked with and connections we have used in the past that have proven to, deliver what we are working with and sharing that with others now.
How do you see the outlook of your organization? How are you developing your clientele?
Well, I see it's actually surprisingly moving faster than I thought it would. Originally, the scope was really focusing on women at the beginning. When I started this thought process, it was sometime in 2008. But now we expanded that scope, and we're focusing on every interested party that wants to form a business or existing businesses that want to transform and grow. So, and the things that we have experienced in this short time are amazing. The connections, the contacts have been, huge. So Bibusa has brought a lot of her knowledge from the past events and, organizations she's been part of to add value here greatly.
Excellent. So how do you see your scope? Do you plan on opening other offices, or you already have offices or other chapters or branches in other places?
Sorry, go on. Go ahead.
I was about to say, is this company based in the United Kingdom or Germany? Because the two of you are in two different countries.
It is based in the United Kingdom right now, but we do intend to expand to have, chapters in different locations. And once this first event is completed, then we will start expanding it to other locations, namely Poland, Germany, to open our chapter in Germany, definitely, because Bibusa lives there, and expand to wherever. Depending on how fast this is moving, we're open to partnering with other locations as well.
Excellent. What type of people are going to participate in this upcoming conference in Zambia?
We're going to have businesses joining, politicians, definitely, because we need their support to make sure that we are bringing in value to the country to make a difference, definitely. We will look for young entrepreneurs who want to start their own businesses, people who already have their own businesses but want to expand it, to grow it, and we're open to working with everybody. So it's not scoped for just one particular area.
Excellent. What does somebody need to do to get your services or to be part of your network?
Well, we will have membership set up. So Once all the details are finalized, we will have our website up and running, which is in progress currently. And once it's live, we will start advertising that. You will see the events on the website and the details of how to join and connect.
Excellent, excellent. Well, Esther, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
We've learned quite a bit here. And please, whenever your website and you ladies are up and ready to go, keep us posted. We'd like to have you back.
Oh, we would love to come back. Thank you for having us. And
you're welcome.
All the best. Thank you.
All the best on your conference, too. Have a wonderful afternoon.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Yeah. Okay. That was Esther Ewebe, co-founder of Bipreneur with Bibusa Wissermann in Germany. And they were talking to us about what's happening in their company and the future outlook. Mosaba, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan.
Welcome back. I don't know whether it's home or just welcome back.
It's both.
It's both, eh? Okay, you just came back from the Young CEOs Global Business Summit, which was in Germany. I told Bibusa I wasn't going to attempt to pronounce the name of this town. What? Dusseldorf? Is that right?
Dusseldorf. Dusseldorf.
Dusseldorf, yeah. And I've only got one issue against you. You post your speech, I don't know whether it's today or yesterday, when I would have loved to read this before this discussion, but I haven't had the chance to do it. Tell me or tell us how you found yourself being part of this event.
I think the main reason could be that the main reason, really, I can't say why for myself, because I just got a request from Bibusa.
Mm-hmm.
But I would suspect is that because of what I propagate business development, private enterprise, and of course there's that level of required ingenuity for Africa. So probably she thought I had something to share at the conference.
I like that she thought. talk to us about the agenda. How was the agenda like, and how did things go before you gave us a detailed outline of what went down and what you talked about?
The agenda, I think there were several themes. There were several group discussions, and then
mm-hmm.
there were presentations. There was a speech from the ambassador to Germany, I think Mr. Chitty. And then
mm-hmm.
there was a representative from the city of Dusseldorf. So there was a variety of people that spoke.
Mm.
I was on a panel, and I also did a keynote speech.
You did a keynote speech. Is this the one that you have posted on your website, on your Facebook page?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know what we can. This must have been the unifying or the main theme of the summit: unifying German businesses and global entrepreneurs investing in Africa and its impact on global scale. So just from that title or write-up, one gets the understanding that this is about the German economy or companies or industries trying to partner with the African counterparts. Could you speak to that?
Yes. That was part of it,
mm-hmm.
because basically it was part of it because I think almost everyone, and it doesn't matter how it negatively sounds, but I think almost everyone, apart from the us in Africa, but almost everyone knows that there's something in Africa. So you can't understand why a country that makes Mercedes-Benz and all these fancy stuff want to do business in Africa. And the Africans, when they go there, they only see chaos. So this is, it's disturbing to me, really, at the personal level. But I think I understand. So the city of Dusseldorf, they are trying to do a lot of things. Ambassador Chiti said that he's been in Germany for, and represents also other countries in Western, in Europe. And he said that attending that summit and what he heard at that summit probably made him feel like it was worth it being there for him as an ambassador, right? Because he wasn't hearing, he was hearing from companies from Germany wanting to get into Africa.
Yes.
And which was encouraging, right? So it was good. So
okay. That's very important. So when what did you present on?
Basically, I was on a panel with a company, because I think there were some people that for some reason scheduling they didn't make up, so we just ended up, I think, the two of us. And this company manages money. It manages funds. So we're talking about source of financing and including crowdfunding and other sources of funding, right? And this company, they were talking about the problem they had. They have access to billions of dollars, right? But they can't seem to find in Germany. They can't seem to find suitable businesses in Africa. So, and they are not investors, they are lenders. And they have investors and they lend to businesses. And their lending rate is 6%. So I found that to be interesting.
So
then of course
any that, type of
And then of course I had to talk about the OOD Africa and the framework itself.
Were you able to provide some answers to their challenge of not being able to find a company or investment opportunities in Africa?
I mean, I don't think it's up to me to provide, because it's a company I could use for some or one of my projects, and I can only encourage. And that's why when I came, I think one of the things I posted on Facebook was to mention them. Right, I mention them, and every chance I get, I think I try to mention them, because I want others to see that they are these people that are looking to lend money out.
Okay.
And you have to meet, of course, there are requirements you have to meet, right? So you have to meet these requirements. And these people are not interested really in this, things like they are going to lend you 50,000 or 100,000. I think it has to be at least $250,000 and above, you know. And you have to come up with we have to be also realistic, right? Because it has to be worthwhile for them too, you know. So that's why.
Okay. this, I think this it brings us to what Esther talked about, the having strong, reliable networking. In your view, Musaba, how do you, after having that experience at the summit, and then you reflect on how things have generally been done, like you said, Ambassador Chiti understood the significance and importance of him being where he is. How would you just characterize the networking in Africa generally? So, because Bipreneur is going into Zambia to do their first event, how do you envision the networking system that we have in Africa, so to speak?
I think in Africa, most of us in Africa, there was this person I met. I mean, she's a very smart young female individual from Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
And she always used to clamp us down, like when we say in Africa, things like this. She'll be like, Africa is big. You have to specify. But anyway, there are certain things that actually apply to the continent. And in this case, what I see is that there's so much focus on the politicians, right? That we ignore. Say, for example, myself, I'm so concerned about the president or the government in Zambia that I ignore what Nathan is able to offer. There was a guy, I can't remember his name, but he's a young guy. He's younger than us. He was on Africa edition of the Forbes magazine, right?
Okay.
This guy is Nigerian. He has businesses in 5 African countries, including 2 businesses in Zambia. Now, the things that I do, and I tell people about things that I do, right?
Mm.
And I've made it as simple as you can to invest. This person I've never met. I meet the person for the first time. He hears about what I'm talking about. He gives me a catalog. He gives me his catalog. And he wants in.
Mm.
Right? He wants in. And he's not asking me to give him money. He's asking me how much money he can put in. So you see the difference, right?
Yes.
And already he's talking about the businesses that he's doing in Zambia. And when I went to Zambia, because after I left that place, I went to Zambia, and I said this. I mentioned this to my brother. I said, I met this guy, and this is what he did. And he told me, yes. What's his name? And he remembered the name and says, yeah, the company's Invicta. Says, oh, these guys were here and we met them, right? So There's other people who are ambitious to do things in Africa. They are ambitious to do things in Zambia. And this is the network that exists, right? There were people that came from Poland that still want to go to Zambia or anywhere in Africa to do business, because they know there are opportunities there. There's a Mexican company, is it Delphi, that does auto parts. They are now in Morocco and Tunisia. And I talked to the lady, trying to see if they can try to do something in Southern Africa, especially Zambia, of course, being Zambian, right? So if we tell a story, and if we create our own stronger bonds, instead of every time we get an opportunity, we try to remind people only of what is negative about Africa. Because really, in Africa, or not in Africa, but in the world, people don't care who Nathan is. They don't care whom Musaba is or anyone is, right? They see us as one person. So if I'm talking to other people and painting a bad picture of Nathan to others, and they don't know you, right? They don't care because what they are seeing is me. So everything negative I say about Nathan, who is a Zambian, I'm actually saying something negative about myself. And this is the part that I think we miss.
Important. Yareka, I want you to come. I want you to respond to something here. Yareka? Okay. I don't know. These lines are... You see, here is something. And I think you made a statement, Mustafa, where you're saying that people from outside of Africa or Zambia for that matter do see potential and they are able to see certain things which we don't seem to see ourselves. Okay? I don't know. I'm just short of words. And it also amazes me a lot. You remember Uncle GM? He hasn't been here for a while. I think he's busy in Zambia farming or doing something. He also said the same thing to say, Bibusa also referred to it and said, the Chinese have come in with, my goodness, like a hurricane or something like that. What are other things that we are not seeing?
Say that again. What are other things?
That I'm saying that... you made a statement that we, others from out, who look into Africa from outside Africa, seem to see the potential and the capability the continent has, and Zambia for that matter, but we don't seem to see it ourselves. Why do you think the problem lies?
The problem lies in, I think, the focus for us really is saying what everyone is saying, okay?
Mm.
We have to understand that the majority don't know much, right? The majority don't know much. Only a few people know things that where things should work. So just because that's what everyone is saying doesn't mean that that's the correct thing. If you look at Zambia, most of us, we are comfortable agreeing with each other, right? How things should work or how that's how it is in Zambia. It's the normal. That's how things work, right? But other people go into Zambia, even after being told that, oh, in Zambia things don't work, they find a way to make it differently, right? When you talk about people... Say, for example, when people talk about malls in Zambia, they say, oh, they're just building malls and this and this. The people that are building malls are spending a lot of money. Remember, it's not government that's building malls, right? It's individuals. So why criticize an individual who decides to build a mall using their own money? You see, it's kind of silly. You see what I mean? But these people are spending upwards of $50-100 million to build a mall in Zambia. Why are they doing that? Because they are not only looking at today, they are looking at tomorrow and the future. And in Zambia, like when I went, there's so much talk about the Chinese there. And I mean, I go to Zambia a lot. This time I noticed there's an incredible increased number. I mean, there's a higher number of Europeans. They were there, but I think now they are more visible than before. You see? It means they are also returning. And it's kind of strange, but the opportunities are there, including there's a farmer that I went to Lower Zambezi there. There's a guy that grows bananas. He started outsourcing. Outgrowing.
Exporting or whatever.
No, outgrowing. He doesn't export. They finish in Zambia. The lady that is doing one of his outgrower programs says that he doesn't answer some of the calls from people from inside Zambia.
Why?
because he can't meet their demand.
Mm. So the local market itself is sufficient?
Yes, at least for him.
He knows what to do.
Maybe I would just add on to what Musaba is saying here. Let's talk about the shopping malls, for instance, both for those who think no, for those who think yes. For those who say shopping malls are welcome in Zambia, if you look at the life, how they are changing lives, how vibrant things can be, it is a very welcome atmosphere. I think for those who are saying no, it's not that people don't want to shopping malls. It's like the Trump movement. You know, some of us don't like it for the sake of probably race and stuff, but there are some who are really for Trump movement because of economic issues. Because of those economic issues. Shopping malls, 50%, if not 70%, if not 80% of the product which is going in shopping malls is from China. They very, very few are buying or are promoting the local product. So the shopping malls, they are lovely, nice to look at, they are doing wonderful, people are spending millions of kwacha, maybe the Chinese or these investors, but it is for their own good, for their own product. So if the first stage has been set for shopping malls, has been set, and then we begin to improve our product, because again, I'm sure some of you agree to this, the guy in shopping mall will not just buy because it's Zambian. It has to be a competitive product. It has to look good.
Of course.
Yes,
yeah.
There need to be that kind of balance. While shopping malls are good, how much dollars are they removing out of Zambia on a given basis? And these dollars, remember, we don't have it that much. How much of this money is going away just to go and import a kettle from China, import this dress, import this shoe? How much? So it is both ways in my view. There is good to this shopping mall, but you cannot blame these people. But at the end of the day, the money they are draining from the country, we cannot look our way.
Okay. Yareka, you can come in, although there's also another specific question I wanted you to address specifically, but go ahead with what comment you want to make.
I think the comment I had is around identifying, I think someone mentioned something about potential, right? Like we don't know what we have,
yes.
And other people
mm-hmm.
see what we have. But I think the most important thing here is that we're not innovative in Africa. We do have people who are innovative, but we're not using that innovation properly. We're not creative enough to turn things around, like improving our processes, you know, improving our operations, identifying resources, natural resources, and turning those natural resources into, using those raw materials and, you know, creating goods and services from what we have. We don't know how to do it. That's the problem. And we don't have the resources in terms of finances. We don't have the technology. Technology, of course, is becoming cheaper, but how do we get more people involved in technology so that we can turn these resources into, in fact, locally, not the way we export everything, raw materials going to other countries. We can do that within the country. So that's where we lack. We do have the natural resources, but we don't have innovation. So how do we now bring innovation, creativity? How do we encourage more people to think outside the box? So the mentality has to change.
Can I just add on to that, what Yareka has said, when we talk about innovation?
Mm-hmm.
Nathan, if you remember last week, we were talking about that young boy, Nathan, who is still in Mufulira, young Musaba, who is still making those wire telephones. Imagine if we were helped at that age, at 10, making those telephones, someone invests. And this is what we are pushing on this radio. Can we put some resources together, put in a secondary school, someone who has an idea, we support them. So I think that's like San Francisco here, people go there. It is just a matter of having that small seed of an idea, just that small seed. But the support system, I think, which we lack. Innovation, I'm sure all of us can agree here, when we were young, we had all these small ideas, we'll make this. But to take it to the next level, which requires support, like they have here for startups and for everything, that is the missing part. Innovation,
but
maybe we may
culture.
Have a little bit.
It's a culture.
I agree with that.
That's a culture that we have in Kenya now. In Kenya, they've become very innovative, very creative, and that's the culture. You go to Kenya, just know that every woman, man, old, you know, everybody knows they have to go to school, they have to do some kind of techie courses. You know, they get involved. So if we have that, we have to involve more youth to do that. Because, you know, the youth, they're at home, they're helping their mother, they're helping their dad, they're doing all sorts of stuff. So we start
Nathan, this is where I agree with Musaba, when he says, we talked about this last week as well, we only want to see things in big terms, and the
new
government does this. What about if we helped that young boy running around there? You'll be surprised how he can change the world the way Facebook has.
No, the best
it's
thing we need to do in the villages, Waroja,
wait a moment, Yareka. What you see? Let me go back to what Musaba's speech. I'm looking at it, Musaba. This is a very cardinal point here. You may not even realize this. Let me read a portion of what you have written. After this, but say, well, if you have a comment, you can come in, Dr. Kalonde as well. How much time do I have left here? About 10, that's enough. Zambians need to learn to speak in a minute or two. You need to learn to speak in a minute or two. Because CNN, they just bring you on for 5 minutes. Listen to this, everybody. Musaba, you wrote, by age 16. Roger, remember what you are saying, that Nathan at 10 years old, and last week you were saying that Kalonde, you know, by age 16, I came to the conclusion that most reasons given for Africa's underdevelopment, like race, corruption, greed, and even wars, were not entirely accurate. Musaba, do you realize how profound that is?
Of course I do.
Yeah, because you see, like Roger is saying, I'm telling you, we have these realizations and there are these things inside of us. But you know what the issue is? Like we are saying, it's the culture, the environment, lack of empowerment, lack of funding, like that company you experienced in when you went for the business, the Global Business Summit and all those things. I don't know whether you wanted to say something, Dr. Kalonde, and then write them.
No, I'm just listening.
Okay, you're just listening. Ayama, you had something to say. You wanted to respond, maybe to say something on that quotation I've read from your write-up, Musaba?
Oh, for me?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, for me, right, it's the funny thing is that we also give excuses for ourselves, right? And I know, like, okay, I heard Roger. Roger's points on the malls is very valid, but let's remove malls in Zambia. They were not there, maybe even 10 years ago. I think there was only Manda Hill, right? If we go
Manda Hill,
the far back we go, there are no malls, right? So people, we are not doing anything. And then when you look at innovation, it's good we have to support, but we can't even bake bread, right? How much innovation do you need to bake bread? The people are coming from Lebanon to come and open a bakery. And people are talking about how they need all these fancy stoves. I live, Toronto is an Italian neighborhood. Some of the most expensive pizza you go and eat in this neighborhood is the pizza made in firewood, oven, right? So we are trying to do certain things, and at the same time, we are trying to find excuses for ourselves, again, to justify why we are not doing certain things we actually should be doing. You know, and that, I think that's the problem.
Yeah.
Can I add to that, Nathan?
Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Innovation is not innovation is not about bringing foreign, models or foreign operations. Innovation could be just improving existing, ideas that you have on the table. You just fix them so that they work better for you, the community. So even in Zambia or even in a village setting, right, there's no electricity there. But instead of waiting for people to come and put electricity, you can use whatever you're doing and just improve on it. That's where innovation is. That's where we're lacking. How do we fix what we have with the little we have? And that's what Kenya is doing. They have very simple solutions to their problems. They're not complicated. In Zambia, we're too grand. Everything has to be big and complicated. So I think we need to look at simple solutions that can help us.
Tatuaba is more business-minded, okay? We think...
Since our last discussion last week, it is one thing mm-hmm. which is keeping me up. What can I do? Musawa just given us an example of bread. Why we cannot even make our own bread? So, if we can find money, if we can find even small resources, we need to see how we can begin to invest in our Butondo. For instance, our Butondo school, a bakery school. How can we start small startups into some of this? There is a lot of ideas there, but the kids now just need our support. Even this bread they can make.
Mm.
But again, there is no support.
Yeah.
The support is missing, in my view. It is something maybe we can do together, but it is something as individuals, I think we should very, very be very critical to start to think about it.
Roger.
It's very
true. Roger.
Sorry, Nathan. We need to... Yeah, we have 1 minute remaining.
Okay, sorry. That's okay. Let another person say something.
No, go ahead. This thing can stop, but we can still be talking. Finish your thought.
Okay, no, what I wanted to say is that when in Zambia, everyone has these little small cars. They even buy them for their girlfriends, right? Everyone you see when they come to see you, it costs $3,000, $4,000, right?
Oh.
Now, so it's not that they can't... And then when you go to China and India, there's machines that cost $1,000 to $2,000 that you can use to make cooking oil.
Wow.
But everyone wants to drive a taxi.
Like,
yeah, that's
you
true.
See?
That's true.
So this is the thing, you know?
Priority.
Yesterday,
priority.
I have just one more comment about innovation. There's a lady that was trying to make some makeup pads, you know, just that they use to apply makeup. I don't know what they call them, but it's
Mama Valenta.
Anyway, most Zambian girls use mattresses. Like Alevale Wofema mattress, they cut it out and they use it to apply makeup. So this girl decided to buy a brand new mattress, and she started making these little makeup pads. And they started laughing at her.
Wow.
But it's the same thing what Mbamsaba is saying here, that, you know, she came up with a simple solution that, you know, she could help other young girls who can't afford to go and buy these makeup things. But at least she's making it locally. We're not importing it. So I think it's important to encourage, you know, young entrepreneurs who are innovating.
Okay, everybody. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Okay, Sven. Bye-bye.
Thank you.